Chapter 15. Before a handful of days had passed, it seemed to Wang Lung that he had never been away from his land, as indeed in his heart he never had. With 3 pieces of the gold, he bought good seed from the south, full grains of wheat and of rice and of corn. And for very recklessness of riches, he bought seeds the like of which he had never planted before, celery and lotus for his pond, and great red radishes that are stewed with pork for a feast dish, and small red fragrant beans. With 5 gold pieces, he bought an ox from a farmer ploughing in the field, and this before ever he reached his own land. He saw the man ploughing, and he stopped, and they all stopped, the old man and the children and the woman, eager as they were to reach the house and the land, and they looked at the ox. Wang Lung had been struck with its strong neck, and noticed at once the sturdy pulling of its shoulder against the wooden yoke, and he called out, "That is a worthless ox. What will you sell it for in silver or gold, seeing that I have no animal, and am hard put to it, and willing to take anything?" And the farmer called back, "I would sooner sell my wife than this ox, which is but 3 years old and in its prime." And he ploughed on, and wouldn't stop for Wang Lung. Then it seemed to Wang Lung as if, out of all the oxen the world held, he must have this one. And he said to O Lan and to his father, "How is it for an ox?" And the old man peered and said, "It seems a beast well castrated." And O Lan said, "It's a year older than he says." But Wang Lung answered nothing, because upon this ox he had set his heart, because of its sturdy pulling of the soil, and because of its smooth yellow coat and its full dark eye. With this ox he could plough his fields and cultivate them, and with this ox tied to his mill he could grind the grain. And he went to the farmer and said, "I'll give you enough to buy another ox and more, but this ox I will have." At last, after bickering and quarreling, and false starts away, the farmer yielded for half again the worth of an ox in those parts. But gold was suddenly nothing to Wang Lung when he looked at this ox, and he passed it over to the farmer's hand, and he watched while the farmer unyoked the beast. And Wang Lung led it away with a rope through its nostrils, his heart burning with his possession. When they reached the house, they found the door torn away, and the thatch from the roof gone, and within, their hoes and rakes that they had left were gone, so only the bare rafters and the earthen walls remained. And even the earthen walls were worn down with the belated snows and the rains of winter and early spring. But after the first astonishment, all this was as nothing to Wang Lung. He went away to the town, and he bought a good new plough of hard wood, and 2 rakes, and 2 hoes, and mats to cover the roof until they could grow thatch again from the harvest. Then, in the evening, he stood in the doorway of his house and looked across the land, his own land, lying loose and fresh from the winter's freezing and ready for planting. It was full spring, and in the shallow pool the frogs croaked drowsily. The bamboos at the corner of the house swayed slowly under a gentle night wind, and through the twilight he could see dimly the fringe of trees at the border of the near field. They were peach trees, budded most delicately pink, and willow trees thrusting forth tender green leaves. And up from the quiescent, waiting land a faint mist rose, silver as moonlight, and clung about the tree trunks. At first, and for a long time, it seemed to Wang Lung that he wished to see no human being, but only to be alone on his land. He went to no houses of the village, and when they came to him, those who were left of the winter starving, he was surly with them. "Which of you tore away my door? And which of you have my rake and my hoe? And which of you burned my roof in his oven?" Thus he bawled at them. And they shook their heads, full of virtue. And this one said, "It was your uncle." And that one said, "Nay, with bandits and robbers roving over the land in these evil times of famine and war, how can it be said that this one or that stole anything? Hunger makes thief of any man." Then Ching, his neighbor, came creeping forth from his house to see Wang Lung, and he said, "Through the winter, a band of robbers lived in your house, and preyed upon the village and the town as they were able. Your uncle, it is said, knows more of them than an honest man should. But who knows what's true in these days? I wouldn't dare to accuse any man." This man was nothing but a shadow indeed. So close did his skin stick to his bones, and so thin and gray had his hair grown, although he hadn't yet reached 45 years of his age. Wang Lung stared at him a while, and then in compassion he said suddenly, "Now you have fared worse than we. And what have you eaten?" And the man sighed forth in a whisper, "What have I not eaten? Offal from the streets, like dogs when we begged in the town. And dead dogs we ate. And once, before she died, my woman brewed some soup from flesh. I dared not ask what it was, except that I knew she hadn't the courage to kill. And if we ate, it was something she found. Then she died, having less strength than I to endure. And after she died, I gave the girl to a soldier because I couldn't see her starve and die also." He paused and fell silent. And after a time he said, "If I had a little seed, I would plant once more. But no seed have I."
"Come here," cried Wang Lung roughly, and dragged him into the house by the hand. And he bade the man hold up the ragged tail of his coat. And into it Wang Lung poured from the store of seed he had brought from the south. Wheat he gave him, and rice, and cabbage seed. And he said, "Tomorrow I'll come and plough your land with my good ox." Then Ching began to weep suddenly. And Wang Lung rubbed his own eyes and cried out as if he were angry, "Do you think I've forgotten that you gave me that handful of beans?" But Ching could answer nothing. Only he walked away weeping, and weeping without stop. It was joy to Wang Lung to find that his uncle was no longer in the village, and where he was none knew, certainly. Some said he had gone to a city, and some said he was in far distant parts with his wife and his son. But there wasn't one left in his house in the village. The girls, and this Wang Lung heard with stout anger, were sold, the prettiest first, for the price they could bring. But even the last one, who was pockmarked, was sold, for a handful of pence, to a soldier who was passing through to battle. Then Wang Lung set himself robustly to the soil, and he begrudged even the hours he must spend in the house for food and sleep. He loved rather to take his roll of bread and garlic to the field and stand there eating, planning, and thinking. "Here shall I put the black-eyed peas, and here the young rice beds." And if he grew too weary in the day, he laid himself into a furrow, and there, with the good warmth of his own land against his flesh, he slept. And O Lan in the house wasn't idle. With her own hands she lashed the mats firmly to the rafters and took earth from the fields and mixed it with water and mended the walls of the house. And she built again the oven and filled the holes in the floor that the rain had washed. Then she went into the town one day with Wang Lung, and together they bought beds and a table and 6 benches and a great iron cauldron. And then they bought for pleasure a red clay teapot with a black flower marked on it in ink and 6 bowls to match. Last of all, they went into an incense shop and bought a paper god of wealth to hang on the wall over the table in the middle room. and they bought 2 pewter candlesticks, and a pewter incense urn, and 2 red candles to burn before the god, thick red candles of cow's fat, and having a slender reed through the middle for wick. And with this, Wang Lung thought of the 2 small gods in the temple to the earth. And on his way home he went and peered in at them, and they were piteous to behold, their features washed from their faces with rain, and the clay of their bodies naked and sticking through the tatters of their paper clothes. None had paid any heed to them in this dreadful year, and Wang Lung looked at them grimly, and with contempt, and he said aloud, as one might speak to a punished child, "Thus it is with gods who do evil to men." Nevertheless, when the house was itself again, and the pewter candlesticks gleaming and the candles burning in them shining red, and the teapot and the bowls upon the table, and the beds in their places with a little bedding once more, and fresh paper pasted over the hole in the room where he slept, and a new door hung upon its wooden hinges, Wang Lung was afraid of his happiness. Olan grew great with the next child. His children tumbled like brown puppies about his threshold. And against the southern wall his old father sat and dozed and smiled as he slept. In his fields the young rice sprouted as green as jade and more beautiful, and the young beans lifted their hooded heads from the soil. And out of the gold there was still enough left to feed them until the harvest, if they ate sparingly. Looking at the blue heaven above him, and the white clouds driving across it, feeling upon his ploughed fields as upon his own flesh the sun and rain in proportion, Wang Lung muttered unwillingly, "I must stick a little incense before those 2 in the small temple. After all, they have power over earth."